I've often been attracted to and often inspired by the miraculous. We see that the miraculous is very much at work in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, New Testament. As a matter of fact, the miraculous was seen as a confirmation of the message. That's what it says at the end of the Gospel of Mark, that the disciples went out and proclaimed the message, and God worked with them, confirming the message by the signs that accompanied it. And so I was always attracted to certain saints who had the miraculous as really part of their lives. People like, in more modern times, Saint Padre Pio, or a little bit earlier, Saint Andre of Montreal. Then going back in history, somebody like Saint Anthony of Padua, who was called the Wonder Worker because of the number of miracles performed at his hand. But one of the saints that I encountered almost by accident as I was growing up, and I was really inspired by the story of his life, was Saint Gerard of Majella. And one of the things that it said about Saint Gerard is that God wouldn't refuse anything that he asked for. Now, you know, you look at that, and that tends to not be our experience. Jesus said in today's gospel that if your faith was even the size of a mustard seed — I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed. I've never actually seen one up close and personal, but I was watching a video, a scripture study, where the person brought in these mustard seeds. Boy, are they small. I mean, they are just so tiny, like almost like a grain of sand. And Jesus said, if your faith was even that big, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and that it would obey you. Now, I think that in many ways, what the point that Jesus is saying here is not, boy, you guys don't have much faith at all because you're not able to do this, but how much God can do through even a little bit of faith. But I know that there are people who have lost their faith because they couldn't understand why God wouldn't give them what they were asking for. I was just listening this past week to this young lady giving a little talk, a testimony, where she's really come to a very, very deep faith, but she spoke about when she was a child and something that she prayed for desperately, and she didn't get it because her older sister was killed in a fire, and she was praying that God would bring her sister back from the dead. She said that she knew that God could do that. She prayed for it. And she couldn't understand why God didn't give that to her. And she fell away from her faith, not completely, but, you know, fell away from her faith. But this is the story of many people, where they couldn't understand why God wouldn't give them what they were asking for. The readings today are really pointing out to us, or really bringing to the fore, how we deal with difficult times. What do we do when the world just doesn't make sense? Because that's what Habakkuk is crying out. We heard a little snippet of Habakkuk's complaint to God, and a little snippet of God's response to Habakkuk. Because they were in a time when Habakkuk could foresee that the Babylonians were going to come and destroy the city of Jerusalem and destroy the temple. And Habakkuk saying, how long, O Lord, will I cry violence to you? Why won't you do anything about this? You know, why won't you do anything about all of these things that are troubling us, all of these things that are difficult? And God said that the just will live by faith. What really tests our faith is how we deal with things in the difficult times. In today's psalm, in Psalm 95, and this is a psalm of which I'm very familiar because I pray it just about every day. But Psalm 95 starts off, come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. In other words, let's gather and let's praise God. And the worship of God can be an expression of our faith. But the psalm takes a little bit of a turn because it talks about the way the people rebelled against God in the wilderness. And the very last line of the psalm, if you go through the whole thing, it says, "So I swore in my anger, they will not enter into my rest." Bang, the psalm is over. In other words, yeah, you can come and you can praise God, you can lift your voices in the praise of God, but that's not going to do you a whole lot of good if you're not willing to obey when it's hard. If you're not willing to obey when life just doesn't make sense. Because that obedience is part of faith. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, talks about how he came to bring about the obedience of faith. Faith is about obeying God, doing what God has asked us to do. And that Jesus, after talking about when the disciples say, increase our faith, and Jesus talking about the great things that faith can do, primarily because it's God who's working through that faith. Jesus tells this little story about a slave who comes in from the field. And I think in some ways, I don't know that this is completely the message that Jesus is trying to convey to us, but I think in many ways it's telling us that really God doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't owe us anything. We very often think that when we have done these good things, that somehow we should have a reward. And God does reward us, don't get me wrong. God does reward us. But it's not because we're owed anything. It's because of God's goodness. But very often, these things that we think are very commendable, we're just basically hitting the baseline of what we should be as human beings, of the way God has made us to be, that we're only hitting the basic lowest point of what God has asked of us. Now, even the lowest point is hard for us because of sin, because sin has entered into the world. It's hard for us even to get to that lowest bar. But it is something that we should approach God in a very humble way, recognizing that God doesn't owe us anything, that I'm merely a servant, I've only done what I've been told to do. But if we're humble before God, Jesus has assured us that God will raise us up. And even if we make a connection between today's gospel and last Sunday's gospel about the man at the gate, the poor man Lazarus, and not overlooking him, you know, there are different motivations we can have in terms of looking out for the person in need. You know, it could be just simply philanthropy. We just figure that that's what I should do, or other things like that. There are all sorts of people who are generous with what they've been given without any kind of reference to God. But for us, as followers of Jesus, part of our faith is to be able to recognize in that person the person of Jesus. That we're doing this not out of some vague sense of goodness, but because we want to respond to Jesus. We want to give to Jesus. But it takes faith to be able to recognize that. We see how, for example, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta spoke about the poor as Jesus in disguise. Or St. Camillus de Lellis, who was very famous about establishing hospitals for the care of the sick in a time when hospitals were not very pleasant places, but how he would drag himself because of a wound that he received in battle, he would drag himself by his arms from bed to bed in order to care for the sick. And he would even sometimes confess his sins to the sick because he saw in the sick Jesus. Or St. Peter Claver, who was a missionary to the slaves, who would give comfort and help to the slaves who would come over to this continent after a long journey and in very poor conditions. And it was said that when the door was opened where the slaves were, that the smell would just about knock him off of his feet because it was so foul. But he overcame his own revulsion because he says, Jesus is there. I need to go and minister to Jesus. And so this is what gives us that heroic ability to go beyond simply what is expected of us, to go beyond that because we're ministering to Jesus. So in all of this, we see that idea of faith being focused in today on what is our faith like when things are hard? What is our faith like when life doesn't seem to make sense? Do we give up or do we persevere? If we give up, that's the end of it. But if we persevere through the difficult times, we come out the other end stronger. Our faith becomes more refined, deeper, stronger. We always want that the faith that God has given to us to continue to increase, as the disciples said, and these words should be on our lips as well. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. We pray that our faith will always be stronger and stronger, and especially so that we can endure the difficult times that are bound to come, whether it's in the world, in the church, in our families. Those difficult times, we want to be able to persevere through those difficult times, always trusting in the goodness of God, in the providence of God, so that we can come to the goal of our faith, which is eternal life. Let us now profess our faith in God as we say, I believe in one